In our On the House Hour, we've been talking with Tom Riley of Renovations, our general contractor in the Prescott Quad City area. That Quad City, Prescott Valley.
Chino Valley and Dewey-Humboldt.
Dewey-Humboldt. See, Dewey-Humboldt is two different communities. So what's the word for five?
Just two different names. It's not two different communities. It's the name of the town is Dewey-Humboldt.
Dewey-Humboldt.
Yeah, one town. City, whatever.
And we've got another guest joining us on the line. We've got Chris Wellborn of Ascente Landscaping. That's one of the great things about Arizona is you come just a few hundred miles north, you're up in elevation. You know, Prescott's up at 5,000 feet, and our landscape's a little bit different. And we've got a little bit more concern if we're talking cabin and homes in the woods is that fire break.
Absolutely. And hi, everyone. We are I shouldn't say completely different. We do have some plants and trees that will grow here that people are familiar with down in the valley. But as you mentioned, Romy, firebreak is so important up here in the high country, no matter if you're in the Quad City areas or in Flagstaff, Sedona. Every year that fire danger is a big concern for us here.
How do you create a protective barrier without cutting down all the beautiful landscape and pine trees that you go up there to smell and enjoy and listen to the wind blow through?
Yeah, because that's why we're all here. We love the high country, the beautiful pines and trees. And what I tell people is you do not have to create a moonscape around your property to become fire-wise and fire-safe. There is a program out there called FireWise, and a lot of our communities have adopted the FireWise system and gone through from a community basis to go FireWise. And what that means is it doesn't mean you're cutting down all of your trees, but it's being smart about the vegetation around your house or your cabin, and you're prioritizing the plants and trees that you really want to keep, and looking at the risk of keeping those plants and trees. So what we talk about is the three different zones that we have around your property. The most important zone is around your house. That's the one where we want to make sure that we look at the fuel, and we talk about the vegetation as being fuel in the case of a fire. So we're going to make sure that we do probably our biggest clearing and our biggest focus on that 20, 30 feet around the property structure. And that is not, if you're on a hill, if your house is uphill, we're going to look at a little bit bigger area around the house to clear out just because fire travels very quickly uphill. But as we move out from the house, we're going to be more selective as to what we do as far as clearing vegetation. But we have some beautiful fire-wise communities and homes that have big, tall trees in their communities. You can enjoy the vegetation and the trees. However, you have, gone in and selected certain high-risk trees and vegetation to remove to help. The main thing you do when you create that fire break or the FireWise is you're not fireproofing your property necessarily, but you're making it easier for the firefighters to protect your house. I mean, there's no way you can guarantee your house will not catch on fire, but there's some things you can do to help the firefighters in the case of a fire.
That kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking to Tom about in the selection of materials for your home. You might want to think masonry, metal roofs, not only be fire wise, but to be nearly maintenance free.
Absolutely. And in our forest, that is a very common roof type. I know we see metal roofs all over in the tall pines for that reason alone. And when you're planting, not even if you're in, the Walker area, for example, where all vegetation is tall pines, but even in our urban interface area where our city of Prescott, is transitioning into the national forest, there are some smart plants and trees to plant. Every plant and tree is going to be flammable, but there are some out there that are less flammable than others, and location is very important too as to where you plant.
Water's a big factor in that because a healthy tree, healthy vegetations require a lot of water. You don't want to put something in that, you know, maybe your well system can't support and keep up with as a point that they get mature and, you know, start ending up with all these drought, malnourished trees.
Correct. And that's, you know, you hear people out there talking about xeriscape. And I hear people call it xeriscape, and it's not xeriscape. We do have beautiful plants and trees that go into a xeriscape property. But you're right, Romy, in that there are some plants and trees that require much more water than others. And, you know, the first thing to look at is the native and the natural vegetation that grows naturally here, the pinyon pines. And as you go into the higher elevations, the ponderosas and some of the firs that we have, and those just naturally have adapted to our environment here and don't need a lot of supplemental water once they're established. That certainly doesn't mean you can't put in, you know, autumn blaze maple trees. That's a popular tree here because they're so beautiful in the fall. Or in some areas, people are, you know, plant aspen trees. Those will grow here and do very well here, but you need to give them a lot more supplemental water. You need to put them on an irrigation system and water them on a regular basis.
Interesting. So, what's the tree that's so beautiful right downtown in the Hacienda Inn courtyard?
I do not know. So the new courtyard that's right there on Whiskey Row?
No, I'm talking about the one that's right on
Marina. Marina and Gurley.
I don't remember for sure. What color are the leaves in the fall?
It's a brilliant, brilliant fall color. I've just always loved those particular trees.
So it could be an ash. There's some beautiful red ashes out there, and the autumn blaze maple is probably the biggest striking fall tree that we have that's common in our area. It's just a beautiful, vibrant, reddish color, and they do really well. They survive our high winds. You know, some of the maple trees out there, their leaves just aren't strong enough to withstand the wind without getting shredded. But that autumn blaze maple is a really, really eye turner. So that might be the tree. I'll take a look next time I'm at the courtyard or at the at Hacienda at the corner there.
And we'll expect you to have every tree memorized on the square, all 180, the species, the location, the size, the appropriate age.
I'll work on it, Romy. Sorry I didn't have that one.
When y'all do strategic analysis of coming in and landscaping a mountain home property, do y'all take into heights of trees, distance from homes, what I would call collapsible falling circumferences?
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest errors we see in installation of new landscaping, as to not looking forward to see the size of what that tree will be, you know, in 5, 10, 15 years. You know, the same with plants and bushes and things. And because when you get the plants and the trees from the nursery, they're going to be, you know, in 5-gallon buckets or 15-gallon buckets or 24-inch boxes. They're relatively small based on what their mature heights and size are going to be. So that is definitely something that we look at and talk to people about almost on every visit that we go to. We talk about the size, the ultimate size and placement of where those trees could go. The other thing as far as placement is concerned, and this is something that I think down the valley that's important too, but is placement of trees and shade trees. You know, in the summertime, we want shade. In the wintertime, it's nice to have some sun coming in because our winters, although they're mild, we do get cold nights and chilly days, and it's nice to have that sun come in where in the fall or in the summer you wanted to have shade. So we look at and talk to the homeowners about some of those likes and dislikes, and maybe we plant a deciduous tree that's going to provide shade in the summer, but in the winter months lose its leaves and allow more sun to come in. And those are things that are important in your overall long-term landscape success.
when a big part of long-term strategy, in my mind, for my second home, would be low maintenance. I mean, really, the last thing I want to do is come up every other weekend for a long 3 or 4 day weekend and be stuck trimming, hedging, digging.
Absolutely.
No, you got to go to the parade. You got to go to the Christmas tree, the courthouse lighting. You got things to do when you get up there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And if you're not running out somewhere, you want to relax and enjoy your property. So, that all goes into the overall plan as to what your desires are. And there are definitely, you know, one thing I talked about a little bit earlier are those native and natural, you know, vegetation that grows naturally up in our environment. And those are often some of the least maintenance requirements out there because they're so well adapted here. A lot of them are evergreens. They're not losing leaves. They're not growing to the point where they have to be trimmed and pruned on a regular basis throughout the summer. So, you know, those are definitely impacts that you want to look at.
And since they are native, once established, your water requirement drops.
Are much lower, absolutely. You know, the one thing I do remind people, though, too, is there's a difference between low maintenance and no maintenance, and there's hardly anything out there that we can do to a property that requires zero maintenance. But there are definitely things we can do to minimize your maintenance on a regular basis.
Yeah, I bet even that guy with all those ironwork statues of dinosaurs out on Iron Springs Road.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you even has to go out there and clean bird poop off the top of his statues.
I bet you're right, Remy. Yeah, that's an interesting collection there.
Well, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us this Saturday morning. And the company is Wellborn Landscape. It's a
Vincente Landscaping.
I've been called all kinds of things. And Tom's probably heard it. I've been called Chris Vicente before. So
Chris Wellborn, the company's Vicente Landscaping. And you've been running it now. Is it
2004,
close to 2 decades?
About 15,
almost?
16 years. So it's been a while now.
And if somebody has a second home or needs a landscape contractor, consultant for the, what's your travel radius?
We typically, Yavapai County is our bread and butter. So we work over in the Verde Valley. Our core, our base primarily is in the Quad City areas, but we travel throughout Yavapai County.
Now, you're going to have to classify that because, you know, we've got friends and Congress and Wickenburg, the parts of Wickenburg are in Yavapai County, and they say, your guys say Yavapai County, but I call them because I don't want a Phoenix contractor, and they won't come down the mountain.
Yeah, we work over in Yarnell and Congress. We have never done any work in Wickenburg, though, but not saying that we wouldn't, but yes, we work throughout the county.
Outstanding. And the website? Because nobody remembers phone numbers anymore.
Yeah, www.vicentelandscaping.com. And Vicente is V-I-C-E-N-T-E.
You took the words right out of my mouth.